And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So Lutherans in general are pretty shy in talking about the Holy Spirit, largely because we don't want to fall into the errors of the Pentecostals or the Charismatics. But neglecting the Spirit has problems as well, not least of which is the failure to recognize how the Spirit is intimately involved in the work of Jesus. And we can begin to get a hold of that by hearing these words that Jesus spoke to the disciples in the upper room on the night when he was betrayed. Notice how he calls the Holy Spirit the Helper. Now, many of you have heard me go on about this before, but helper is only one way to render the Greek word here. Other translations will use comforter, counselor, advocate, encourager. The word originally described the role of a person you would bring with you if you had to appear before the authorities or town council. The helper, the advocate, was the person who would speak on your behalf. Not exactly an attorney, but someone who would be skilled in making your case. And likewise, the counselor would explain the concerns of the authorities to you, the goal being that everyone live in harmony and goodwill together. And that's how Jesus described the Holy Spirit's role. He is a helper, a counselor, who pleads for you to the Father and the Son, and who gives you an understanding of the Word so that you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, can all live in harmony and goodwill. And the Spirit does this in connection to the Word, because he is sent by the Father in the name of Jesus. Two things jump out here. First, the name of Jesus means in connection to the things of Jesus, his saving death, his mercy and grace, his glorious resurrection, his ascension, his incarnation, the forgiveness that he has won. The Spirit is sent in connection to all of that, to bring all of that to you and to me. The Spirit is always connected to Jesus. In fact, St. Paul calls him the Spirit of Jesus. He's not an independent contractor doing whatever he pleases. He is always delivering Christ to us and delivering us to Christ. So if you hear chatter about the Spirit that doesn't involve Jesus, then something has gone terribly wrong. Secondly, the way the Spirit delivers Jesus is by Jesus' word. The ancient church asserted, and rightly, that the Spirit does nothing apart from the word. So as Jesus prepared to finish the work that the Father gave him to do, he promised to the disciples that night, and us as well, that as long as we have his word, the Spirit will be with us to deliver Christ and his gifts. He is present with us. And by his word and Spirit, he is in us, in our minds, in our hearts, shaping us for his purposes. And this is why Jesus made such a big deal about keeping his word. Now, that word to keep doesn't primarily mean to obey. Rather, it focuses on guarding something, cherishing it, dwelling on the word. It is to mull the word over, to think about it, to use it. Now, doing what the word says is part of all that as well, but only secondarily. It all starts with receiving and cherishing the word as Jesus' word to you. And when you receive that word of Jesus to you, the Spirit is right there at your elbow telling you that the word is good, telling you that it is pure, it is wholesome. It is a joy to have. So Jesus goes to the Father, the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sin. He has the Father send the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the counselor to us to deliver the word to us and then bring us to Christ, so that Christ can reconcile us to the Father. And because of that, we have peace, and not the kind that the world knows. As I was sharing this gospel reading during my visits this week, one of the things that resonated with folks was the notion that the kind of peace the world gives is given with one hand and taken right back by the other. The world senses peace is really just an absence of strife. And so the world will tell you and offer you this deal, right? Go along with my ways, says the world, and everything's going to be fine. Don't rock the boat. But what are the world's ways? Power? Pride? Greed? Selfishness? Lies? And when you give in to that way of doing things, what happens? Well, the world may not attack you as long as you agree with its agenda and its ways, but what happens to your heart? What happens to your spirit, your soul? There's anything but peace, fear, envy, shame. No, Jesus does not give peace the way that the world does. His peace, given through the Spirit by the Word, as you believe, his peace is first the assurance that you are forgiven and loved. But it goes farther than that. In the Old Testament, peace, shalom, was something God intended for the whole of the cosmos. And it involved everything working in harmony as God had created it to. Rocks and trees and birds and bees could all know peace as they did what they were designed to do. Men and women could be at peace as they lived according to God's will, both peace with him and peace with each other. Peace was strongly related to justice and righteousness when people did right by one another, when they helped each other, defended each other. There was shalom. And that's what Jesus is giving us now. Did you notice in our reading from Acts that a kind of shalom broke out in Jerusalem as the Spirit made the apostles speak to those gathered people, telling them the mighty works of God in Jesus in their own tongues? Those people were united. They were united in awe and perplexity as they heard the word, and the Spirit at that moment overcame the judgment of Babel, where God had confounded human languages as a hedge against human sin and pride. Jesus' peace comes to us with his word and his Spirit. And as we receive these gifts, as we receive Jesus, we are called to live in harmony with one another in love and grace. We are made new in Christ so that we begin to live as God intended for us to do from the beginning of creation. We become his agents of grace and love to others in this fallen and broken world. And that's the last thing to consider here. This reading from John 14 is actually Jesus' response to a question from Judas, the son of James, not the one from Kirioth. Jesus had promised the one keeping his word would be loved by Jesus and that he would manifest himself to such a one. And Judas asked, well, how can you manifest yourself to us but not to the rest of the world at the same time? The word manifest means something like display, and that's the sense in which Judas took it to be. He couldn't understand how Jesus could display himself, show himself to the disciples and not to everyone else at the same time. But the word can also mean to reveal and make something understood. What Jesus promised is that the one cherishing his word would know and understand him. And then, in answer to Judas' question, Jesus clarified that the Spirit is the person who uses Jesus' word to reveal him and make him understood. And the reason the world doesn't get this is because the world doesn't care for Jesus' word. And so it misses out on his Spirit. But with Jesus manifest to you, with the Spirit using the word so that you know and understand Jesus and begin to have his life and have life in his name, what does that do to you besides give you peace? It makes you witnesses. You give evidence of his life, death, and resurrection as you live as his agents. Now, too often, witnessing has been taken to mean just trying to convince people to believe in Jesus when they don't. But its root, witnessing, is not about trying to sell something or to argue something or to convince someone of something. It's about showing. It's about giving evidence. It's about manifesting Christ. And the Spirit makes us witnesses as we share the word and as we show Christ's love and grace to those around us in our varied callings. So go forth, my friends. You've been given the Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, who will teach you all the things of Christ, who will keep you in his word, and who will make you agents of his grace. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen. I invite you to stand as we join together